We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Zalman of Liadi, one of the most basic books of Hasidism in general, and the main book of Hasidic Chabad in particular. And we are basically in the second half, which is not really a half, the last part of the first chapter. Now, I have to make a note before starting reading. Today is going to be a tough class. Why? Because at the end of the first chapter, the Alter Rebbe talks about the non-Jews. And he talks very hard about the non-Jews, really hard. And in order to understand what the Alter Rebbe says and why he says it, we need a little bit of context. This is an idea that doesn't apply only to Torah. It applies to every single thing in life. You need context. You need to understand when something was said, by whom, in which situation. And according to that context, you can understand what's going on and why he said this. And actually, this is not whatever we're going to learn in a few minutes, is not something that Alter Rebbe made up himself. He took it from Kabbalah of Arizal. So many non-Jews, whatever we have, the internet full of great mekubalim, I'm saying this in irony, of course, and they love to teach everybody everything, anything, and they don't even know what they're talking about, because it's not so simple to say that anything applies to everybody and in any case, in any way, not necessarily. And that's note number one before starting to read. And note number two, okay, we're going to read what Alter Rebbe says, and I'm going to explain, but it doesn't finish over here. Why? Even though we're learning Tanya, and I could say, okay, wait a second, this is what the text says, and that's it. I don't have to say anything else. This is what the text says. You like it, fine. You don't like it, we can stop learning this, no problem. But there's more to it. There's a work by the son of the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, where he explains something very interesting, which is actually based on the Zohar. And that means it doesn't come from the Mittler Rebbe, from the second Rebbe. And furthermore, there's a famous letter of the Rebbe that actually we learned it also. There's a video on that on the channel, explaining the soul of non-Jews. So the Alter Rebbe is going to talk about that, and I'm going to add, which is not written in the Tanya, what the Mittler Rebbe says based on the Zohar. Having said all of that, let's start. We finished previous class, basically on the second page of Tanya. The line starts dor v'dor in every generation, and we basically ended up not understanding what a beinoni is, what an intermediate person is. It seems strange, looks pretty much like a tzaddik, like a righteous person, and we don't really know what a tzaddik is, what a righteous person is, because the idea of a righteous person that we had before, yeah, he only killed three guys and he behaved properly the rest of the life. That's not a tzaddik, I'm sorry. Yeah, but actually the Torah calls him tzaddik. He only has three transgressions against many, many, many mitzvahs. Oh, very nice, but you know what? He killed three people. That doesn't sound like a tzaddik. So we don't understand what a tzaddik is. We don't understand what a beinoni is. When is the person a beinoni? And the Alter Rebbe is starting to explain right now. And I repeat this. The Alter Rebbe is going to finish, quote unquote, the explanation in chapter 17. That's the end of the explanation. So let's have patience. There's a lot to learn. The explanation is going to start with what is a soul? What's the structure of a soul? What kind of soul do we have, and so on. Ach biura inyan, the explanation of all these questions that I mentioned before in the previous class, of course, al pi ma shekosev Rav Chaim Vital Zal b'Shara Kedusha, according to what the Chaim Vital wrote in this particular book, Shara Kedusha, Portals of Sanctity. Interestingly to note, the Arizal himself didn't write anything. No writings of the Arizal at all. His students wrote what he taught. His main student was Chaim Vital. So he wrote his books, and actually the son of Chaim Vital, Shmuel Vital, also wrote other books that are also called the books of the writers of the Arizal, but the Arizal didn't write anything. Uve Etz Chaim, also in another book, Etz Chaim Sha'anun, Perek Beis, in that particular place. What did he write over there? Derechol ish Yisrael, echot tzadik v'echot rasha, yesh shtei neshamos. Every single Jew, and let's not forget, the Tanya itself was written for Jews. Okay, I'm going to do, so to speak, the work, the job, whatever, of applying this to non-Jews. No problem. That's my job, so to speak. Okay. But the text itself was written for Jews. We have to know this. So every Jew has two souls. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a righteous person or whether it's a wicked person. Has two souls, neshamois, in the words of that Rebbe. As it's written, neshamois ani asisi. The verse says, I did souls in plural. So the minimum plural is a common tool of learning in Torah. The minimum plural is two. Shen shtei nefashois. We're talking about two types of souls. See the change. The Rebbe says neshamois first, and then says nefashois. The truth is that there are five names to the soul. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. I'm not going to explain what these five names are right now. The Alter Rebbe throughout the Tanya is also not going to explain all the details of each one of these levels. Right now, we don't need this. That's why the Alter Rebbe doesn't explain it. So why should I explain it either? So let's just stay with the word soul. It's enough for what we need right now. So shtei nefashes. There are two souls. Nefesh achas. The first one, mitzad klipa. This word, klipa, is going to appear hundreds of times throughout the Tanya. So I'll explain in a second what it means. This first soul comes from the klipa, whatever it is. Vesitra achro. And the other side. These two words, sitro, achro, sitro means the side, achro means the other. It's borrowed, so to speak, from the Zohar. Klipa is probably borrowed from the writings of the Arizal, and sitra achra from the Zohar. It appears so many times over there. What are you talking about? Is there another side? There's nothing else but God. So what are you talking about? So let's go to klipa and then sitra. First of all, klipa. Klipa means literally shell. That's the translation of the word klipa, a shell. Just like, or the peel, just like the peel of a fruit. Let's take an orange. So you have the orange, you have whatever is outside the orange, and what's inside the orange. What you see is what is outside, that's called a klipa. Usually, the klipa conceals the inner part of the fruit. What you really want is not the peel, the thing outside, the shell of the fruit. You want the inside of the fruit. Can be sweet or whatever, but in the outer side is bitter. It's not really good. That's called a klipa. And it's a reference to anything we call impurity, anything we call against the will of God, anything we called, and now we're going to the second word, sitra achra, the other side. What do you mean other side? There's only God. The Alter Rebbe himself is going to bring later, much later, in the name of the Zohar, which is actually an example of the Zohar, what it means the other side. The other side actually is what God creates and gives sustenance in order to give men free will. If there would only be good in the world, like the good things and only kedusha, sanctity, holiness, we wouldn't be able to choose between doing good or evil. So God creates evil. And the most important thing over here, even though it's not the subject of this chapter, but to understand what we're talking about because it's going to appear so many times, the important thing over here is even evil, it's an emissary of God. And it's a faithful servant of God. Created by God, sustained by God, sent by God. The only thing that exists is God. But he wants us to choose between good and bad. So he creates bad. And he tests us constantly with sending his emissaries of Sitra Achra, the other side. So it's not really something independent of God. The Alter Rebbe is going to talk about this a lot in chapter 6. We will see. But it's not something independent of God. It's something that depends completely on God, but the godly energy over there is concealed. And therefore it feels like separated from God. And it can go against the will of God. Okay, that's what Sitra Achra means. So if we go back a little bit, so you see, every single Jew has two souls. It doesn't matter whether the person is a tzaddik, a righteous person, or a rasha, an evil person. Shtei neshamas, two souls, kediksif, as it's written, I went a little bit back. Neshamas ani asisi, I did souls, shen shtei nefashes. We're talking about two souls. Again, I'm mixing the same word because it's not important right now, the name of which part of the soul, it doesn't matter right now. Nefesh achas mitzad klipa v'sitra achra. One of these souls, it's from the klipa, from this shell, and from the other side, the sitra. What's this soul? And this soul is invested in the blood of a person to give life to the body. Kediksiv, as it's written in the Torah, ki nefesh abasar badam hi, the soul of flesh is in the blood. Note, I know that there's such a thing as the witnesses of whatever, some Christian group over there, and they say they can't receive transfusions or whatever you call it of blood because the soul is the blood, and the Torah says this quite a few times, not just once. They're completely wrong. Hey, but Alter Rebbe just said the soul is in the blood. Why are they wrong? And the answer is there's a 86 milliliters of blood flowing through the body that you're right. They carry the soul, but the rest of the blood not. There are a few liters of blood flowing through the body. They don't carry the soul. It's not a problem to receive blood. It's not a problem to give blood. Everything's okay. It doesn't matter whether it's a Jew, non-Jew. I don't care. Blood is blood. We're all the same, and it's not a problem. And again, this soul, which is a spiritual thing, an abstract thing, gets invested in this blood. It's written down in Hasidus, whatever that means, I really don't know what it means, that when the blood circulates through the body, like any other liquid circulating through tubes, it produces like a heat, a certain heat of the liquid flowing through the tubes, so to speak, inside the blood. That heat is the most spiritual of the material in this world. So the blood is material, the sinews or whatever you call them are also material, but they produce like a heat. That heat is a spiritual thing within the material. And the most material of the spiritual, which is the soul, this part of the soul called nefesh, and so on, that gets investigated together. The most material of the spiritual gets together with the most spiritual of the material, and that's where there's a connection over there. And the truth is that this connection doesn't make any sense at all, even though Hasidus explains what I just said. And for this, we say every single time we go out of the bathroom, after we wash the hands and so on, we say a blessing. Asher yotzer es ha'adam, that God created the world, the man, and so on, and we finish a mafli lasis, that God does wonders. And the explanation of this bracha, this blessing, that is 100% should be said by non-Jews also, this blessing means, what's mafli lasis, that God does wonders, he unites spiritual with material. That's the wonder we're talking about when we say this blessing. Unites, this is the Ramos, says this in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law. Okay, so this soul gets invested in the blood. For what? Lehacha yesaguf, to give life to the body, as it's written, as we said this before, the soul of the flesh is in the blood. Umimen abaus bois kol namidis rois miarba yesedis raim sheba. And from this soul come all the bad qualities that actually they depend, these qualities depend on the four bad fundaments that are actually in this soul. What is he talking about? The Rambam explains, the Ramban talks about this also in his commentary to the Torah, that the world is created by God through actually first creating four yesoides, four fundaments: water, fire, air, and earth. Earth. This doesn't mean, that Ramban says so clearly, Nachmanides in his commentary, this doesn't mean the fire we see and the earth we touch and no, and the water. We're not talking about this. We're talking about something abstract. What is it? I have no idea. It's an abstract thing. It's called water, whatever. So these fundaments are actually the fundamentals of anything in the world. The body, even the soul. And they produce, now we're talking about the soul, different traits, different character traits in the soul itself. And the Alter Rebbe is going to explain which character traits, the ones that are not so good in men, in every single human being in the face of the earth. Like what? The Alter Rebbe says, the Ayna. I'm talking about Kaas, the Gaiva, for instance, anger and pride. This comes from the fundament of, from the element of fire, that fire goes up. So also the anger goes up and up and up and, okay, it doesn't stop. And the same thing with pride. the taivas atainugim, and the passions of all kinds of pleasure, pleasurable things in the world, they come from the water. Because water makes grow any kind of pleasures. I never saw really an explanation that really I couldn't really like on this particular thing. The only thing I could say about this is, usually in halacha, in Jewish law, fruits, like apples and oranges and so on, are considered something of pleasure. You don't really live on apples. Of course, if you're dying of hunger, eat whatever you can eat. We're not talking about this. Usually people live on bread. Live on bread, that's the main food in halacha. I'm talking about Jewish law now. And fruits is like something of pleasure. Sweet and good and nice. So that's why the Alter Rebbe says over here that the water, matzmichim, they may grow. It's talking about usually vegetables and trees. That's the word, matzmiach, sprout out. All types of pleasures. But in any case, a person that is given out completely to taives, to passions, that's the element of water within himself that makes this person go after taives, after passions. Hoylilus veleitzanus, don't expect me to translate this properly in English. Hoylilus means a person that is all laughing the whole day. Leitzanus also laughing and doesn't care about anything. And not just laughing of jokes, laughing on people, laughing about people, on the face of people. It's a really bad person, like a clown, but a bad clown. Ispirus means also a person that feels I'm so proud of myself and I'm so good. It's not just gaiva. Gaiva means I'm the best in the world. And ispirus means I don't care about you. I'm the best over here. Not necessarily from the world, but something similar. Okay, but this guy lives on jokes the whole day. Udvarim betelim, and also things that are completely irrelevant. This guy talks about anything you want in the world is completely relevant. Miyesay daruach, this comes from air. Like air has no mamashus, no, you can't touch air. It is not really, quote unquote, something important. You can't sell and buy air. So the same thing happens with this guy that is talking and laughing and proud of himself the whole time. That's air. That's nothing. Ve'atzlus ve'atzvus, and laziness and depression, miyesay da'afar, they come from dust that goes down. Ve'gam, that's one point, one aspect of this, what we're going to call out throughout the whole Tanya, Nefesh HaBa'amis, an animal soul. We're going to call this animal soul. And now that Rebbe continues, also the good character traits in the nature of every Jew from birth. That means it's not something you work on, it's something you have because you're a Jew. Again, I'm going to read, it's not going to sound nice, and then I'm going to explain. Like, for instance, being merciful or being helpful. I want to help other people. Boys mimena. These qualities that are a nature of a Jew, they also come from this soul, this first soul. And the second chapter is going to define the second soul. Why? So we have a good component and a bad component on the same soul. Character traits we're talking about now. Because when we're talking about a Jew, this soul that comes from this klipa, from impurity, from this shell, it comes from a very specific level of shell, which is called klipas noiga. The Alter Rebbe is going to explain this really a lot in chapter 7. So let's have patience. But over here, what we're saying is, the Jew has this animal soul, and it's a bad thing, has bad components, but you know what? It comes from klipas noiga. Noiga means shiny, like something that shines. So we have a shell that shines. And we will see quickly in a few minutes, and we will see in chapter 6 and 7, there's a 6 particularly, there's a klipa, there's a shell that doesn't shine. It's really bad. Everything bad, no good parts on it. This klipas noiga, again, the place where it's defined is in chapter 7. This klipas noiga, this shiny, bright shell, shiesh ba gam ken toif, has components of good. That's why the Jew, whose animal soul comes from that place, from that level, has good parts. Vehim yesaydet zadas tevara. And it comes from the secret Kabbalah, whatever, of the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. So it has good and bad. Now, how is the Klipas Noiga defined and explained in the Zohar? It's a very interesting image, so it's easy to understand what it is. The Zohar says that when man was kicked out, thrown out of Gan Eden, of paradise, God put cherubim, angels, in the entrance, whatever that means, of the Gan Eden. I don't know what that is. And the Ramban says that actually there's a place where it's called Gan Eden in the earth. Nobody knows what it is. Okay, but God puts these cherubim, and he puts lat acherev amisapeches. He puts a sword. There's a sword that it's constantly going rounds and rounds, constantly moving one side and the other, misapeches, moving one side and the other side. What are you talking about? What is this sword? So the Zohar explains that this sword actually is a reference to Klipas Noiga. What does it mean, Klipas Noiga? Again, all the details in chapter 7 means that has the potential for good and the potential for bad. It's not good and it's not bad. It's neutral. Potential for good, potential for bad. If you use it for good, so you will elevate it into Kedusha, into sanctity, holiness. If you use it for bad, so you bring it down into unholiness and so on. So that's the soul of the Jew. This animal soul, as the Alter Rebbe is going to explain later, not now, in the next chapters, this animal soul actually is not a bad thing. It's a regular thing that every single human being has. The question is, what's the quality? We're not talking about whether a person has or doesn't have animal soul. If you live, you have an animal soul. Definitely. Jew, non-Jew, I don't care. The question is, in the words of the Tanya, where does it come from? But it's a weird question. I would rephrase to make it easier. The question is not where does it come from, is what's the quality of my animal soul? So the Alter Rebbe just said, in the Jew, the quality of the animal soul is Klipas Noiga. It could be good, could be bad. Now comes the hard part. Which is not the case with the souls of the nations of the world. They come from, I would say, the quality of their soul is from the other impure shells defined in chapter 6. See how hard these words are. They have no good at all. Nothing. Don't ever expect anything good from a non-Jew. This is what the Alter Rebbe is saying. Where do you got it from? It's pretty hard. As it's written in Kabbalah, Etzchaim, non-Jews love Kabbalah, so there you go, you have the Kabbalah. That's what it says. Shar Mem Tes, Peregimel, go look over there, portal 49, chapter 3. What does it say over there? It says the following thing. The Alter Rebbe quotes. Anything good that the nations of the world do, they do it for their own benefit. Okay, the Isa Gemara. And furthermore, it's also in the Talmud. It's not a problem, so to speak, of Kabbalah. What does it say in the Talmud? There's a verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, Chesed la'um yuchatas. The kindness of the nations is sin. What does that mean? I think it's a psalm. I don't remember right now. Shekol tzedakah v'chesed shumos ha'olam ha'isin ena ena lisiyar v'chulei. Every tzedakah, charity, every act of kindness that the nations of the world do is just to get proud of it. Chulei, etc. Point. Over here we finished chapter 1. We could continue, of course, with chapter 2, but I said before I was going to explain. So first we read, and now I'll explain. Context. The Alter Rebbe lived, first of all, let's go to the Talmud. The Alter Rebbe is quoting the Talmud. So the Alter Rebbe quoted the Talmud. Talmud was written down in year 400. That doesn't mean that it's only ideas of year 400, around 450 of Common Era. No way. At that time it was written down, but it contains ideas of hundreds and hundreds of years from before also, even from before the Mishnah, from before the year 200. It's really old knowledge, so to speak. In those days, usually, most of non-Jews were completely uneducated. The only educated non-Jews were the clerics, you know, the guys in the church and so on. They had access to education, and the kings, whatever, the kings and nobles, they had access to education. So the rest of the world, entire world, was completely uneducated. No writing, no reading, no nothing. So in addition to this, in those days, justice was pretty different than today. Life had no value at all. You could kill a person in the roads, nobody would know about it, take everything he has and just move on. Nobody never will know about this. No cameras, no WhatsApps, no television, no nothing. So that's the way the world actually functioned. Pretty hard, very hard work. That's why, interestingly, in Halacha, in Jewish law, it's said, and it's brought down even in the Shulchan Aruch, year 1500s, that you should not cut your hair with a non-Jew. Why not? Because it might kill you. Now, no hair cutter or whatever you call it nowadays, unless it's completely nuts, could be, I don't know, bad luck. But nobody's going to kill you. What are you talking about? Just cut your hair, pay, and move on. Okay, in those days, it didn't work like that. Be careful. Any regular guy might kill you, and it's true. And Yaakov, we see this in the Torah, Yaakov was afraid that his brother might kill him. So when the brother said, I'm going to go with you until Seir, the Yaakov said, no, it's okay, you go first, and I'll follow you. Get out of here. I'm afraid of you, of his own brother. Okay, that's point number one, Talmud. In the times of the Arizal, the same thing happened, exactly the same. Arizal lived in 1500s, 1520, something like that, in Tzfat, in North Eretz Israel. We just came from the expulsion of Spain. Hundreds and hundreds of dead, murdered people. It was so hard. Life was really hard. So it makes complete sense that they say, don't expect anything good from a non-Jew. Get away from that. The Alter Rebbe, let's move on in time. Alter Rebbe, end of 1700s. Russia, they massacred so many Jews, Cossacks, the times of the Baal Shem Tov. Tach and Tat. Tach means 1608, 1609, years that were so terrible for the Jewish people. Khmelnytsky, Yimach Shemo, his name should be erased, the head of the Cossacks, he made a complete massacre of complete Jewish towns. So, what do you want from the non-Jews? Nothing. Please, as far as you can get them, the best. Just away. That's the context. So when you write a book and you expect that this book is going to be read by basically any Jew, given a good advice, get away from the non-Jews. Nothing good is going to come from them. Context. Now, can you say this today? Definitely not. Because on the completely the opposite of what I just said before. Nowadays, most of the people are educated, are normal people. There are crazy guys anywhere. And Jews also are crazy. So you can't say the same thing. That's context, those times, nowadays. Now let's move on a little bit deeper. The Mittler Rebbe writes, very interesting, that when you're talking about a Ben Noyach or Bas Noyach, it's the same thing. Men, women, doesn't make any difference. When you talk about Bnei Noyach, they don't fit into this description that the Rebbe is giving over here. No. When the Alter Rebbe is talking about, or when Kabbalah talks about, and when the Talmud talks about the evilness of the non-Jews, he's talking about the regular pagans, idolaters, and so on. And the Mittler Rebbe writes clearly, directly, that when you're talking about Ben Noyach, that keeps the seven commandments, seven whatever of Bnei Noyach and so on, their soul also comes from Klipas Noiga. Just as, like the soul of the Jew, their soul also comes from this level that gets turned one way and the other way. Could be good, could be bad. Depends on how the person uses it. So it's important to make that note. Now, Let's continue. But it doesn't mean, and I mentioned this before, I think, I'm sure, doesn't mean that every single concept applies to non-Jews. Again, the book wasn't written for non-Jews. So we're going to find many concepts that don't apply, and many concepts that do apply. That was chapter one. Chapter two, V'nefesh ha'shenis b'Yisrael, hi chelek elokam imal mamesh. The second soul in the Jew. So you see, even before moving on, you see in the first chapter, the end of the first chapter, that Rebbe talked about the first soul of the Jew. And now he talks about the second soul of the Jew. So we have inside of each one of us different expressions of godliness. This is what is called the first soul, the second soul. They express godliness in different ways within each one of us. This second soul is talking about the Jew. And I haven't seen anywhere throughout Hasidus, and I haven't found this either in any other books, Kabbalah, whatever, that says that the non-Jews also have this second soul. That doesn't mean they're less, they're animals, or they're... No. None of that. It's just a different thing. A Jew is a Jew, and a non-Jew is a non-Jew. No problem. It's just different. Now, again, Nefesh HaShenis B'Yisrael, Chelek Elokam Imal Mamesh, this second soul in the Jew, it's a portion of God above, which is actually, this is the verse in Eoiv, which is, he was not a Jew. There's one opinion that says that Eoiv was Moshe Rabbeinu, but most of opinions say that Eoiv wasn't actually not a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. So, this second soul, it's a portion of God in above, Mamesh, literally. That's what it means, a portion of God. How do you know that? The Alter Rebbe explains. Kemo shekosuv, as it's written, Ba'ipach v'yapav nishmas chaim. God blew, so to speak, the soul of life into the first man. Stop. If you start thinking, wait a second, first man, was he a Jew or not? No, what do you mean a Jew? Judaism starts in the giving of the Torah. There wasn't such a thing as Judaism before that. So over here we're talking about the soul of the first man. So first man wasn't a Jew, so every single human being has this soul. What's the Alter Rebbe saying over here? Why only Jews? And the answer to this, it's pretty hard, simple and hard. The Arizal writes, again, he didn't write anything, his students, in the writings of the Arizal, it's found the idea that when God created first man, and he actually blew in his nostrils the soul, it's only, he had only the power, the capacity, the potential of all the souls of the Jews. When first man was created, there was no such a thing as non-Jews. There was only the soul of Jews. Only when first man sinned, the idea, so to speak, the existence of non-Jews came into the world, into creation. So that's why when actually God blew into the nostrils of first man, Nishmas Chaim, a soul of life. Which kind of soul is talking about? The soul of the Jews. That's what he's talking about. Then, of course, it later, after the sin, included souls of others, of non-Jews. Yeah. But at this point, still, he didn't sin. He wasn't even alive yet. And it says, V'ata nefachta bi, and you actually blew into me this soul. And Alter Rebbe is going to explain why he's making such a stress in the word blowing. We'll see. Ukama shekasu v'zoyar, as it's written in the Zoyar, man de napach metoichei napach, a person that blows from really the inside. What does that mean, the inside? Pirush, the explanation is like this. Now Alter Rebbe is explaining the Zoyar. Mitoichiusoi mipnimiusoi. When a person blows, he blows really from inside, from his innermost parts. Because the innermost parts of the life of a person, a person brings out when he's blowing. You can talk and talk and talk and not get tired, but if you start blowing, you really get tired. Quickly. That means that you're involving yourself much more strength of yourself in blowing than in talking. That's why the rest of the creation is by speech, the words of God. But the soul, he blew. the soul into man. Kach al derech masha neshamas Yisrael al b'machshava. In the same way, as a way of example, the souls of the Jews came up in the thought of God. Ukediksiv bni bechori Yisrael, as it's written that when Moshe Rabbeinu had to go talk to Pharaoh to bring out the Jewish people from Egypt, one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu said, that God said that the Jewish people are his firstborn son, bni. Why is he calling the Jews a son of God? God doesn't have sons, doesn't have a wife and so on. He doesn't have sons. So what is he talking about? And furthermore, it says clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu says clearly in Parshas Kedoshim, if I'm not mistaken, you are the children of God, your Lord. Pirush, what does that mean? Before the example, Tanya is not a book of medicine. Tanya is not a book of astronomy. Tanya is a book of Hasidus. And the Alter Rebbe is going to use an example of how, I'll say it in a different way. The Alter Rebbe is going to bring a model to describe what a son is. And this doesn't mean that this model fits perfectly with current modern medicine. Not at all. Not at all. We can find, and in Yiddish we say kvetch. Try to, put and force it. Okay, I got it. But the truth is, it's much easier than that. It's a model, a description model. The example I like to give on this, which is a very simple one, when the Torah talks about Parshas Mini, Parshas Re'eh, the kosher animals. Which animals can Jews eat? Which animals can Jews not eat? And the Torah says that if you're talking about a water animal, has to have fins and scales. Fins and scales. All right. The Torah doesn't really care whether we're talking about fish, a mammal, whales. Or it doesn't care at all. The Torah just says, does it have fish and scales? You can eat it. It's a fish. Go eat it. Hey, you're calling a shark a fish. You don't know anything. No. Wait a second. It's just a model. I just want to know, what can I eat? Fish and scales. Fins and scales. That you can eat. All right. I don't care what it is. I just eat it if it has fins and scales. It's a model of description. That's all. So over here, we're going to find a model describing how a son is born from mother and father. It does not fit at all with medicine. I don't care. Why? Why don't you care? Your book is wrong. My book is not a book of medicine. My book is a book explaining a soul, how it comes down from God up to the body of a person. And this example, it's easy enough to understand something that is very abstract. Soul, what is it? Can you touch it? No, I can't. So, okay, I'm going to give you an example you can understand because it touches your body and your things that you can get, actually. And then you'll see how it works in the spiritual way. Let's go. Pirush. What does it mean to be a son of God? Just as a son is projected from the brain of the father. In the same way, the soul of each Jew is projected from the thought and the wisdom of God. This is the phrase in the Zohar. He is wise. God is wise. But not with a chokhmah, a knowledge that anybody can actually understand. Yeah, we call God a chacham. He is wise. But it doesn't mean that he's wise like I am wise. The Rambam explains this so much. And Alter Rebbe brings the Rambam actually. God and his knowledge is one. As the Rambam wrote, there's a note over here. I'm going to jump the note on purpose. We'll go back later. What did the Rambam write? I want to explain this idea more. That's why I'm not reading the note. Shuamada ve'ayodea chule. God is the knowledge, and God is the one that knows, etc. Says the Rebbe. I'm not going to copy the whole Rambam. Go learn the Rambam. And this thing, it's not possible for a human being to understand it properly, clearly, etc. anyone that analyzes God is going to find, like, are you really going to understand? Impossible. He's God. He's infinite. Uksiv, and it's written, kilo machshava samachshava seichem begoimel. And it's written also, the Rambam finishes his idea with this, my thoughts, says God, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, etc. Now, what is the Alter Rebbe saying over here by bringing the Zohar and the Rambam? What is he going to? He's going to explain, he's actually explaining what a son is. Why? He's going to say later, but I prefer to say it now, so later is going to be easier, and still we have to go to the note, which is kind of hard, but we will learn it. Ancient medicine, they thought that what man gives into woman in order to have children and so on comes actually from the brain. It's a part of the brain, and through the spine goes down from the brain into the organs and so on, and then goes into the wife. That's what people usually thought in those times. Again, Tanya is not a book of medicine. We know today it doesn't really come from there. You could, again, kvetch, force it and say, not because the brain manages the whole body. Yeah, I know. But over here we're talking about something else. It doesn't have to fit today's medicine model. Just Alter Rebbe is using something people knew and people understood in order to explain something that is very deep and abstract and so on. What did people know? That actually that comes from the brain. Yeah, it comes down in the spine, it goes into the wife and so on, from the brain. With that idea, we can understand a little bit better why we are called children. Just as the son comes from the brain of the father, in that ancient medicine model, in the same way, the soul of a Jew comes from the brain, quote unquote, of God. From the brain of God. What does that mean, the brain of God? Okay, that's the whole thing. Chochma, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain. Chochma, bina, understanding, and knowledge and understanding. Okay, we will see this later. The Alter Rebbe is going to talk about that. But the main point over here is, you see, it's the same model. Just as the sun comes from the brain, the soul also comes from the brain. All right, so we're children of God. That doesn't mean that God has a wife and so on. No, not at all. Not at all. It's just a model to describe something. Now, let's go to the note. The note is going to mention so many difficult and mystic words. Each one of them needs hours and hours of explaining. So let's read the note. I could explain, but I don't want to spend hours and hours on the note. What's the purpose of the note? The purpose of the note is to answer a very interesting argument between two giants of Judaism. One of them is the Rambam, and the other one is the Maharal of Prague, Yehuda Lowy of Prague, 1600s in Prague, in Europe. They didn't know each other, of course. The Rambam lived in Spain in the year 1000, and the Maharal of Prague 600 years later in Prague. So they didn't know each other. But the Maharal of Prague has a very tough question on the Rambam. And the Alter Rebbe over here is answering that question. That's why he put a note over here. And why is it a note? Because it's not the main thing of the book, of the purpose of the book. The chapter talks about what's the soul of a Jew. And their argument is about something else. But still, the Alter Rebbe felt important to put this note to, so to speak, on one hand, defend the Rambam, and on the other hand, defend also the Maharal of Prague. And this is a typical Jewish answer. Both are right. What are you saying? No, it's impossible. Either the Rambam or the Maharal of Prague? No. Both are right. This is what the Alter Rebbe does over here. How does he do it? I'm sorry. So I'm going to say it outside, and then I'm going to explain inside. Let's go outside first. The Rambam says, and we just quoted, that God is the knowledge, God is the one that knows, and God is the known thing. The Alter Rebbe didn't quote it, but that's what the Rambam says. All right, God is everything. Okay, let's suppose it's correct. That's what the Rambam says. And the Maharal of Prague talks about this so hard. It's impossible to define God. There's nothing you can say about God, says the Maharal of Prague. And you're defining God as knowledge. What? No. God is not knowledge. God is not known. God is not nothing. Nothing you can say about God. That's what the Maharal of Prague says. So the Rambam is wrong. That's it. That's the conclusion the Maharal of Prague extracts out of all of this. So, who's right? Altrebe says both are right, because they're talking about two different levels of godliness. The Rambam is talking about a level of godliness that is already invested into creation. So God wants that we should know Him. That's one of the reasons the Zohar brings why God created the world. Begin the Shtemoide on Lei. That's why it's Bay, whatever, what's written over there. God wants to be known. It's not the main reason and it's not the only reason, but that's one idea. God wants to be known. So in order to be known, He needs to create knowledge. And He needs to create within human beings the capacity of knowing Him, because that's what He wants. Then you have to see what you use your potential on. I can use my potential to know who won the last World Cup and what were the players and who made all the goals and so on. That's knowledge, okay. Or I can use my knowledge to know God. Oh, that's a deeper knowledge, but it's just my knowledge. But God needs to create the capacity of knowledge for me to decide what am I going to use the knowledge for. Okay. Having said all of that, God invests Himself in that knowledge so we can know Him. If God would have not invested Himself in that knowledge, it would be impossible for us to reach even the idea that there is such a thing as a God. It would be impossible. Let me say it in different words. Much easier. Anything that we can think of, even like the good writers that invent things and make up ideas and whatever, even that, God thought about it before. If God wouldn't have thought about it, it would be impossible for any human being, doesn't matter how smart you are, to think about it. Impossible. Because He is the one that creates knowledge. And He gives us the capacity of knowledge, and we use it and so on, as I explained. So, again, the Rambam is talking about a level of godliness that invested already in knowledge to give us the capacity of knowing Him. That's the level of the Rambam. The Maharal of Prague is talking about a level of godliness that is still not invested on anything, His essence. His essence is not knowledge. His essence is not invested in knowledge. That's why we cannot understand His essence. Not at all. We can just say essence, whatever, something that is beyond us. That we can say. But we don't understand what it is. Why? Because God did not invest His essence in knowledge. Forget it. You're never going to catch it. Never going to get it. And that's the system. And that's what the Maharal of Prague is talking about. That's why it's not that the Rambam is wrong. The Rambam is talking about a lower level of godliness, and the Maharal of Prague is talking about a higher level of godliness. No problem. And the Alter Rebbe, we will see this in the note in a minute. The Alter Rebbe even says, if you look at Kabbalah Sfarim, that the Maharal of Prague, of course, he was also a Kabbalist and so on, you will see that they agree with the Rambam. They don't argue with the Rambam. Even Kabbalah Sfarim previews from before the Maharal of Prague, they agree to the Rambam, and suddenly the Maharal of Prague doesn't agree. Why? Because you're talking about something else. You're talking about a different level. With this introduction, let's go to the notes. The Alter Rebbe just brought the Rambam that says that God is the knowledge and the known and so on. Behoidu loichach mea Kabbalah. The sages of Kabbalah, saw it in secrets of Kabbalah, whatever that means, they agree to the Rambam. They agree to the Rambam. Kemo shekasuv Pardes Maramak, as it's written in the Pardes of the Ramak, Rebbeinu Cordovero, vegam lefi Kabbalas Arizal, yetziva milsa, and also according to the Kabbalah of Arizal, which is not the same system as the Ramak, and now is not the moment for what's the difference. This also stands. This idea of the Rambam stands, and it's okay. It's fine. Besoid is lavshus or in soif baruch walidei tzimtzumim rabim bekelim de chabad de atzilus. What is he talking about? He's using Kabbalah language. There's an investment of the or in soif, of the infinite light of godliness, through something that is called tzimtzum. which I'm not going to explain the whole thing right now, means contractions and concealments and so on. It doesn't matter right now all the details. In the vessels of Chabad, Chochma bin Yedaas, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain this in the next chapter, so I'm not going to explain right now all the details. Three levels, intellectual levels of godliness in the world that is called Atzilus. I'm also not going to explain this. Emanations, that's a translation. It's one of the worlds, quote unquote, which doesn't mean Mars and Jupiter, no. It means spiritual levels in which God invests himself in order to create this world. So when you analyze, even according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, when you analyze this investment of godliness into these levels, so what the Rambam says makes perfect sense. Because after all, God is invested in those levels in order to be known for by us, to understand him. However, beyond these levels that I just explained, whatever they mean, I mean, the Alter Rebbe just mentioned, beyond those levels, no. And what the Rambam says, it doesn't stand. Everybody agrees to this, with the Maral of Prague. So you see, the Alter Rebbe divided this into ideas. The Rambam is talking about one level, the Maral of Prague is talking about a different level. The infinite, see, in the beginning of the note, the Alter Rebbe says, Oira Ein Sof, the infinite light. And in the second part of the note, the Alter Rebbe says, Ein Sof, the infinite. He's not talking about even light, whatever that means, but he's talking about a higher level than that, God himself. The infinite himself, it's way beyond, very above, infinite levels above, Lemaila Maila, very, very high, Mimaus Bechinas Chabad, from any level of understanding, knowledge, or whatever they mean. To the point that these levels, very lofty levels of the world of Atzilus, emanations, whatever it is, it's like action, complete physical action compared to God. It's written, you acted everything with wisdom. So for God, wisdom and action is exactly the same thing. It's such a He is so lofty and so elevated that these two levels are exactly the same thing.